Let's bring in our guest analyst, speaking of him. It's Craig Bolanos with the Wealth Management Group out of Chicago. Craig, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, good to be with you. You know, we're all flip-flopping. I think things weren't actually that bad in the month of October, but in the same vein, they're not actually that good either. The first 2 weeks of November, I've got.
Well, you know, there's been a sea change of sentiment, but I don't think the fundamentals, or at least the facts, back it up yet. Now, they might follow and back it up. I don't know. But it's not just isolated markets. There's a lot of it happening right now. So you've got this implosion in yields. I haven't seen inflation numbers come ticking down yet. Look what Powell said. He hasn't said anything markedly different, but an 8% drop in the 10-year yield from 5% to 4.5%. I mean, that's pretty big. There must be some sort of expectation out there, because I think the market's trading on feelings more than the facts. But like I said, they can catch up. That doesn't mean it doesn't, you know, it's not right. But I'm interested to see, because we're also seeing it happen in other markets, like crude oil. Crude oil a little bit too, but like cattle. I'm seeing sea changes in sentiment, and I haven't seen the numbers catch up yet, but maybe they will. But I don't know what your thoughts are there.
Well, you know, I do think it's still going to catch up, because I think the three pillars supporting the market, the soft landing, the continued slow ease in inflation, and the concept that the Fed's almost done with rate hikes, I still think that's all probable. It's not necessarily possible. And when I look at the earnings component to back it up, I mean, what do we learn from Q3 earnings season? For all intents and purposes, you know, things weren't spectacular, but again, they're not bad. I think, if anything, we completely reaffirmed that the 240 mark for the S&P, that's where we're going to be. So what does that lay in store? I think in order for things to really move higher meaningfully, we just need to see a settle down in Treasury yields. I think we can see a settling down in Treasury yields and have Americans do what we always do, which is spend $966 billion over the holidays. Things are going to look a little bit better going into January of 2024.
What about all this rate hike talk? I mean, rate cut talk. Sorry, you know, everybody's moving up their rate cut expectations from, say, the back end of 2024 to, say, even as closely now as March of 2024. Where you stand there?
You and I have been talking about that for 15 months. We're still in the higher for longer camp. I don't know where that comes from. You know, I understand it, but I mean, my takeaway, again, is that growth isn't collapsing. And with growth not collapsing, I just don't see how anybody should be forecasting these rate cuts sooner than later. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, there's some clear hints of softening out there. I can see that in places, ISM, PMI,
right,
maybe the jobs data, but I don't see anything to tell me that there's rate cuts coming anytime soon.
which was going to be my next question. I mean, could or do you see the Fed cutting interest rates without getting to the 2% mandate yet?
I think, don't we all know that that's eventually going to happen? We're just not going to get to the 2% mandate. I don't know why we can't abandon the 2% mandate.
Well, it's arbitrary,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's arbitrary. It's some false sense of hope, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen. In the same way, I had this false sense of hope that I was actually going to get my Social Security benefits cut. And after watching the Republican debate and being reminded that people are going to want to means test Social Security, I gave up on my future Social Security. That, too, is a false sense of hope.
Well, by saying it's going to be means tested, are you telling us that you make a lot of money? Is that what that means?
I'm not saying I make a lot of money. I'm just saying every time people on stage talk about the rich, I'm reminded that the rich are defined by the tax code, and the tax code takes an awful lot of people that have middle class attitudes and takes all their money. That's all I'm saying.
Right. It's exactly right. And by the way, your Social Security is already gone. I mean, it's just a bunch of IOUs in the tank right now. So just forget about it. That's another thing that I want to talk to these guys, these talking heads, and some of them are women, obviously, that are talking about, you know, yes, we're going to have rate cuts, and that supports their calls that the stock market's going to fly higher. I mean, there's a chance that could happen without the rate cut, because if you see the Fed move that mandate from 2% to 3% or even 4%, it's probably not going to go to 4%, but say 3%, that'll also be bullish for stocks, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, don't say four, please. Do not say four. I just got scared. I mean, I got worried on a Friday, you know. I mean, I feel like every day, you know, we're coming in and we're all searching for what's next, right? And I really break it down into what's next just lands me into one of two categories. It's either going to be a growth scare, I'm hoping we don't get it, or it's just going to continue to be this resumption of the soft landing and disinflation narrative that I hope is still here, that I think might still be here. That's the same narrative that pushed stocks higher this summer. Yep. As far as the growth scare, I just want to mention there were a couple things, I guess, if I'm looking for things to be bad. I mean, but just a couple. You know, I look at some of the comments from some of the airline stocks and some of the hotels, and I go, okay, maybe there's a slowdown. And then I look at some high-end companies. I think Harley-Davidson, Keurig, Louis Vuitton, and the parent company of Invisalign, you know, the braces, they all didn't put up good numbers. But the big ones, Visa, Amex, MasterCard, everyone said we're continuing to spend. That gets me excited about the year-end holiday push. I wasn't making up that number of $966 billion. I think it's actually going to happen, and that should be enough as long as the weekly jobless claims get back to 220 or north. I think it sets up for a nice year-end push.
All right. I'm going to leave it on that. That's great stuff, as usual. Great comments on a Friday. Can't live without them. Thank you very much, Craig Milanos. Have a great weekend. If we don't talk, he's with the Wealth Management Group out of Chicago. We're going to go away. We're going to pay some bills. We're going to come back and talk more after this.